Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The federal government at a standstill for at least two more days as the stalemate in Congress continues. Republicans need as many as eight Democrats to help pass a stopgap measure. Only three Democrats have joined so far. ABC's Jay O'Brien says 750,000 federal workers are furloughed, essential workers on the job without pay.
The first round of October federal paychecks already went out this week, so luckily that's done. If the shutdown continues into mid-October, when the next round of federal paychecks set for this month are set to go out, it would delay those paychecks. You're talking about the 14th, 15th, and 16th of this month.
Lawmakers expected to vote again Friday on a funding measure. Morocco, the latest country to see a rise in anti-government protests involving Generation Z demonstrators. Young protesters clashing with police today, denouncing budget spending for the World Cup. And acclaimed primatologist Jane Goodall has died. Her institute announced the 91-year-old died of natural causes. This is ABC News.
The Lakes, the Capitol, the UW, the radio station, 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We have a new candidate in next year's race for state Supreme Court. Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley's term is up in 2027. Liberal appellate judge and former state representative Chris Taylor announced she would be running against Bradley. But then, about a month ago, Bradley announced she would not seek re-election. She called on conservatives to, quote, take stock of failures, identify the problem, and fix it, end quote. Liberal judges have won four of the last five Wisconsin Supreme Court elections. Now, a conservative contender is entering the race to replace her. Maria Lazar has been on the Second District Court of Appeals since 2022. She released her first campaign video this morning.
I am an independent, impartial judge who strives to follow the law and Constitution in every decision I make from the bench. It is time to restore that level of judicial dedication to the court. That is precisely why I have decided to run for the open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
The court currently has a 4-3 liberal majority. If a conservative candidate wins, that balance would stay the same. If a liberal candidate wins, the court would have a 5-2 liberal majority. Last year's contest between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel became the most expensive state court race in American history. And there's a new member of the Sun Prairie School Board. Danny Miller is a teacher educator at UW-Madison and served as an English teacher for 10 years. He was chosen to replace Katie Kumoku, who resigned, saying she wanted to prioritize her family and her job. Four members of the Sun Prairie School Board have stepped down in the last year. The board is under scrutiny for its handling of child abuse allegations against former Sun Prairie West Dean Robert Gilkey Meisegeyer. The State Journal reports he's the third staff member in the district to be charged with child sex crimes in the last 3 years. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. After losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and staying warm for tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. And we stay warm with 80s right on through the weekend, some rain chances towards Sunday. Cooler next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe two 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Thursday morning, we'll welcome back Jim Santel.
Let's find out if sending the military into the cities as a training ground is impeachable or not.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Madison and 92.7 WMDX, both weird in the best way.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, don't give up hope. There is justice in this world. We try to deliver some of it every single day here on this program. And I'm going to be serving up a big old heap and helping of such justice for folks that find Charlie Kirk really, really problematic. Before we get there, of course, we are in the midst of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold multi-state contest. You can text to win every day, multiple times a day. In the 5 o'clock hour on this program, I drop a word of the hour. You text that in via the app. You get entered to win a couple of our daily prizes, either 200 bucks or gold jewelry, and you'll get entered to win our grand prize, two tickets on the club indoor level to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game. We even give you a gas card, a total $1,500 value. Man, you don't want to miss out on this. The word to get entered to win this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R, quarter. Good luck to each and every one of you. Full contesting rules, of course, available at civicmedia.us. I also want to remind everybody, we have created the special new phone number and email for you to tell your stories about how the big, brutal bill and Donald Trump's tariff terror are impacting you, your small business, your kids, and your family. That email, because every single one of your stories matters, is wematter@civicmedia.us. And the phone number, if you want to tell your story in your own voice, we might share it right here on this program, is 855-755-0771. Yesterday, I had a great caller. We were talking about Charlie Kirk and his rhetoric. Caller called me up and said, Maggie, you're so unfair. You don't let Charlie speak in context. You're clipping him. It's, what are you doing? Play the whole thing. And he isn't a racist. And I said, hogwash. Charlie Kirk's a racist. And just again, for the record, he should never have been killed. That is an abomination in a democracy. So today, what I wanted to do was take some time, and we're going to start with one of Charlie Kirk's most infamous arguments, and I'm going to break it down. I'm going to show you that the, quote, context argument is utter baloney. And I'm going to go through some other examples of Kirk's rhetorical tricks. And I hope at the end of this, we all have our feet more firmly planted in reality. Because if you want to claim, oh, there's context and nuance for someone who was so unabashedly racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, transphobic, every ism you can think of, and you won't give anyone else any context or nuance, it's time to look in the mirror. It's also time, I hope, for some of us to begin to open our eyes, to realize that we are being manipulated. Charlie Kirk wasn't a great debater at all. And I'm about to prove that to you. He was a propagandist who traded in isms and lies and misdirection. So let us begin together. And if you want to get in on our discussion this afternoon, I always welcome callers, 855-752-4842. Please be patient because I want to get through some of this argumentation. I want to hear what Kirk had to say so that we can deal with his rhetorical tricks, his propaganda machine, and then we can go to callers. So again, folks, please be patient with me. But I think this is really important. And this isn't just about Charlie Kirk. I'm using him as an example. But this kind of misdirection, lies, and propaganda is used throughout the MAGA movement. We're going to explore it today through Mr. Kirk's own words. Lest we forget, let's run a little bit of the Charlie Kirk montage, for which I have been accused of taking Charlie out of context. Let her rip, Jacob.
Comparing abortion to the Holocaust.
Absolutely, I am. In fact, it's worse. It's worse.
We'll deal with that today.
Trying to go rob her, happening all the time in urban America. Prowling blacks go around for fun to go target white people. That's a fact. Black crime is a major issue in our country. Why are you pushing criminal justice reform exactly?
Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to
go steal
a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously.
Now, the southern border is, of course, the great replacement. They're trying to replace us demographically. They're trying to make the country less white. It is an anti-white agenda. If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. Taylor Swift is now engaged to Travis Kelce. This is something that I hope will make Taylor Swift more conservative. Reject feminism. Submit to your husband, Taylor. You're not in charge.
America was at its peak when we halted immigration for 40 years and we dropped our foreign-born percentage to its lowest level ever.
And on and on and on it goes. I could play Charlie Kirk clips for the entire rest of the program. Hateful clips. And no context will ever save that rhetoric from what it is. Okay? So let's dig in. We're going to use the black pilots example. And I want to give some credit here. This, I've borrowed completely from a guy named Jeremy Andrew Davis. He's an expert on manipulative communication as well as propaganda, largely focused his studies on Nazi propaganda. But let's start. We've all heard that pilot clip. So let's just hear how Charlie Kirk began his little diatribe about pilots. And I'm going to keep playing the audio so that there's, you know, John, quote, context. Let's play the first statement he makes about black pilots.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified.
Yeah, so that's racist. It's completely inflammatory. Lots of folks have emotional reactions to it. What it is a not-so-subtle dog whistle to all of the most extreme white supremacist right that is a core constituency of the MAGA movement. Okay, there's a reason that David Duke was like, man, I love me some Charlie Kirk. Okay? But now, here's this thing that people say, oh, but the context. Let's listen to what he said next.
Not an immediate,
no, you wouldn't
that's
have done
not
that
who
before.
I am. That's no. not what I believe.
Oh, that's not who I am. That's not what I believe. Okay. What is that? What is he doing there? He's creating this rhetorical distance. He says this terrible, terrible thing, right? And then he distances himself from it. This is called false distancing or moral laundering, plausible deniability. You're softening that incredibly racist, completely objectively horrifying statement that if I see a black pilot, boy, I'm going to think, I hope he's qualified. Oh, but that's not who I am. That's not what I believe. But it is. That is not the end of the context. Again, he's trying to create plausible deniability. Let's take the next cut.
I want to be as blunt as possible because now I'm connecting two dots.
Okay, what's happening there? Again, you've got this anchor statement, this inflammatory, emotionally triggering statement that if I see a black pilot, I'm going to worry if he's qualified. Then he distances himself, softening the moral laundering. But that's not what I think. That's not who I am. That's not what I believe. But I want to be as blunt as possible. I am connecting two dots. This is placing Charlie Kirk as an authority, as a quasi-expert, if you will. Like, he's about to reveal some hidden truth that, like, the system is trying to keep from you. He's got the wisdom and the insight. So he's now set himself up as the purveyor of a truth. Listen to what he says next.
Wait a second. The CEO has said that he's forcing that a white qualified guy is not going to get the job.
The CEO of United Airlines never said that. That is a falsehood. It's a lie. It is a straw man argument. It lacks context. It lacks nuance. And by the way, Charlie Kirk, community college dropout, has no actual expertise in, well, basically anything other than being an avowed, unapologetic bigot. He's mischaracterizing. He's misleading. He's lying. To be clear, diversity initiatives in aviation have never forced a single qualified white pilot out of a seat. Okay? That's never happened, and I'm going to explain to you why in just a moment. But let's listen to what Charlie Kirk said next.
So I see this guy. He might be a nice person. I say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator, you know, trials.
Okay, so to summarize, he starts with the inflammatory statement. If I see a black pilot, boy, I'm going to think, I hope he's qualified. Then he morally distances himself with that. Plausible deniability, moral softening. But that's not who I am. That's not who I believe. What I believe. Then he sets himself up as an expert. I want to be as blunt as possible. I'm connecting dots. The CEO said that a white qualified guy is not going to get the job. That's a lie. That's the straw man argument. Then he makes up a specific example, which is complete and total hogwash. The dots that he's trying to connect are based on the lie that the United Airlines CEO said that white men won't get the job and that unqualified black men will, in order to attack DEI writ large. And then he makes up this thing, this specific illusion, this specific lie. It is called the specificity illusion. So I see this guy and I say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator trials. That is a lie. It never existed. It's a false example used to make you think that he knows what he's talking about, which he doesn't. Everything that Charlie Kirk just did there is propaganda. Based on lies, based on strawman argument, and based on this idea that, oh, well, in context, he said he didn't really, really mean that. That's not who I am. That's not what I believe. But he concludes, and this went on for a while after this, of course. So I see this guy and say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator trials. I'm going to tell you why all of that is garbage and a lie, and that there is no context that can save Charlie Kirk's bigotry or MAGA's underlying bigotry. It is what it appears to be. We continue this important discussion on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where no topic is too challenging, no rhetoric too tight to debunk. We'll be right back.
The Isthmus. It's not a lisp. It's where we live. WMDX.
Buying a home is kind of like eating pistachios. Some are easy to open, some take a little work, and every once in a while, you get a tough one that makes you question your life choices. That's where we come in. At Aaron Weber Group, we crack open the market and find you the perfect home. Whether you're looking for a cozy starter home or a mansion with a snack pantry big enough for a lifetime supply of pistachios, we've got you covered. Call Aaron Weber Group at Powered by Compass today. We'll help you find a home that's nothing but perfect.
At Chance Design Build, we provide remodeling done well with love. Our commitments extend beyond our workplace and your home to support our community. We judge people by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin, and we believe all humans deserve quality, publicly funded education, childcare, and health care. But what do you believe in? At Chance Design Build, we believe every person must have the opportunity to thrive. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, go to ChanceDesignBuild.com to learn more about our commitments to you, your home, and our community.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Lace up your sneakers, Wisconsin. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is coming to Madison on October 5th. Walk with WMDX in honor of someone you love and help us move closer to a cure. Registration is free and easy. Start or join a team today at alz.org/walk.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we're in the midst of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text to win giveaway every day, multiple times a day. If you text in the word of that hour, you'll be entered to win one of a couple of daily prizes, $200 or gold jewelry, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize pair of tickets to watch Green Bay take on Minnesota on November 23rd. The word to get entered to win this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R, quarter. Text that in via the app, folks, not the regular way. That doesn't get you entered. Remember, contesting rules available at civicmedia.us. We've got a special hour where I'm debunking Charlie Kirk and, by extension, the MAGA rhetoric. They use the same tactics of propagandists centuries old, okay? It is the same old tired nonsense. I started with Charlie Kirk's statements about black pilots. What spurred this was, of course, a caller who said, Maggie, you keep calling Charlie Kirk a bigot, but when you listen to what he has to say in context, it's not bigoted. But yes, it of course is. So let's listen to the full put-together statement that I have been debunking in this last segment, and I'll bring it all together for you one last time. Take a listen.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified.
It's not an immediate.
No, you
wouldn't
have done that
before.
That's not who I am. That's not what I believe. I want to be as blunt as possible because now I'm connecting two dots. Wait a second. The CEO just said that he's forcing that a white qualified guy is not going to get the job. So I see this guy. He might be a nice person. I say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator, you know, trials.
Okay. Again, inflammatory statement that gets an emotional reaction. This is black pilot. Boy, I sure think he's qualified. It's the anchor. It's the thing that will keep pulling through all of his other arguments. Then he creates distance from that by saying, oh, that's not who I am. That's not really what I believe. It's plausible deniability. It allows friends to say, like my caller yesterday, John, oh, the context. It is effectively moral laundering, okay? It allows his listeners, his followers, to end up weaponizing Charlie Kirk's arguments, okay? It's an essential part of what he does. Then he moves on to, I'm going to be blunt and connect these dots together for you. This is positing Charlie Kirk, who is an expert in nothing, as an expert on DEI, which is a weird thing given that he's a white community college dropout who is a millionaire a few times over, who has a platform reaching tens of millions of people, but has not a single credential at all whatsoever to make any of the sorts of statements or conclusions that he's making. He then moves on to the straw man argument. Well, the CEO of United Airlines said that he's being forced to not hire the qualified white guy. That's a lie. The United Airlines CEO never said that. And that is simply a falsehood. But what he's doing there is scapegoating, right? He's shifting the blame for his bigotry and prejudice onto this external bad guy, this external villain, DEI, and unqualified black people taking qualified white people's job. This is also, of course, white victim inversion, where a dominant group, white folks, are now cast as the harmed party, which is stupid. There's also a bit of zero sum in here, but I'm going to save that for another day. Then he gets to the end of his argument where he uses this very specific loaded example, which is called specificity illusion. You name something specific, it feels tangible, and then you kind of just make something up out of whole cloth to make it all sound like it might be real. So he invokes, I hope this guy, he might be nice, but I hope he's not this Harvard affirmative action style student where he only landed half of his flight simulator trials, which is the exact place that he began. It's all layer upon layer upon layer of lie, misdirection, and bigotry, of course, all cleansed by his one, well, I don't really believe this, but yeah, he does. And again, all of this bolsters his anchor statement, this inflammatory, emotionally triggering statement that basically, black pilots are not to be trusted. But here is the complete truth about this. All pilots need 40 hours of actual flight time to become a private pilot. Most private pilot instructors require more than 80 hours before they will pass someone on to get their pilot's license. You need then 250 hours of actual flight time to get a commercial license, and then 1,500 hours to become an airline pilot on top of all of that, a commercial airline pilot. And by the way, if an instructor passes someone who is incompetent, the instructor will lose their license. So this is garbage. And by the way, we have an extraordinary shortage of pilots in this country. So yeah, no qualified white pilot is having his slot stolen by an unqualified black pilot. That's a lie. But Charlie Kirk and MAGA, through these propagandist tactics, more than centuries old, make it seem kind of reasonable so that people can, of course, then say it's about context. So remember, there's a system here. There's an inflammatory dog whistle. There's a denial or a softening, an appeal to reasonability that is likely a lie or a distraction. There's rationalizing. There's doubling down with fallacies, false examples, lies, red herrings, empty arguments, and specificity illusions. And then rinse, wash, and repeat, 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 repeat. Charlie Kirk isn't a good debater. He's a propagandist and a bigot. I'm going to tackle some of his other arguments on the other side. Do not go anywhere. We're going to continue this takedown of this nonsense on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WMDX, Madison, living side by side with Sandhill Cranes. Madison, Wisconsin. More lakes, more bikes, lively politics with 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Two homes for veterans facing homelessness in Wisconsin are now closed. The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program gave vets a place to stay and access to services to help them get back on their feet. Earlier this year, Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal included $1.9 million to keep the program afloat, but Republicans removed it from the budget, and it was not in the eventual deal that GOP lawmakers struck with the governor. There are three homes in this program. Two of them have closed, the ones in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay. That means the only one left is in Union Grove. State Senator Jamie Wall from Green Bay.
Closure of these facilities means that there are going to be 41 fewer beds for homeless veterans in northern Wisconsin as we approach this winter. This didn't have to happen, and it's a shame that it did.
State Senator Republican Andre Jacques authored a bill that would bring back the funding. There was a public hearing on it a couple weeks ago. Rock Larson is a Wood County veteran service officer.
In the recent past, I had veterans who could benefit from this program and homeless veterans from central Wisconsin state that they have no desire to relocate to southeastern Wisconsin. These program sites offer veterans residential programs to build the skills necessary for them to reenter the local communities and be sustainable. Without the case management and roof over these heads that this program offers these veterans, they are doomed to poverty and chronic homelessness.
The Journal Sentinel reports 10 veterans were moved to the last remaining site in Union Grove. 11 had to be moved to programs not specifically meant for veterans or even to Minnesota and Michigan. Data shows there are currently about 350 homeless veterans in Wisconsin. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It can be hard for a filmmaker or artist to watch material they've created or were a part of. Sometimes it's because they watch it so much while making it, they just don't feel the need. But in the case of actor Paul Bettany, he can't watch A Knight's Tale anymore because of Heath Ledger, despite the film being a breakout role for Bettany, according to Yahoo News. The Da Vinci Code actor said recently at Comic-Con LA that he just misses his friend Ledger, who he called a playful, joyous spirit. The two bonded on the 2001 film in which Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer, and he says he has not seen it once since. Tubi is on fire. The streamer, which is mostly free, has dipped its toes into pro sports and is now doing a cannonball off the high dive. Tubi will be part of the Thanksgiving Day NFL extravaganza and air your Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. It will be a simulcast with Fox Sports. Fox acquired Tubi in 2020. The streamer also has tons of great free movies if you don't mind a few ads. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad City, biking through blizzards since forever. 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and staying warm for tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. And we stay warm with 80s right on through the weekend, some rain chances towards Sunday. Cooler next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
The John and Gordy Show.
And this is the War Ravaged Portland. And let me just read the letter.
My dearest Suzanne, we are a city under siege. The Antifa forces have our city surrounded. If all is lost, you'll find me at Whole Foods drinking kombucha. Forever yours, my darling.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Is your family being impacted by the big, brutal bill? Is your small business hurting? Are you concerned for your children's educational future? Are you struggling to afford childcare? We want to hear your stories here on the Maggie Dawn Show, and we've created a special email and phone number so that you can tell us your stories, because you matter and we all matter. That email address, again, is wematter@civicmedia.us, and the special dedicated phone line is 855-755-0771. Tell us your stories. It is also, of course, the hour during my program when we are engaging in Civic Media's multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest, the word that you want to text in to get registered to win $200, gold jewelry, or pair of tickets to the Green Bay, Minnesota game on November 23rd. For this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R. But we are in the middle of my, I don't know, dissembling, maybe not dissembling is the wrong word, complete rebuttal of Charlie Kirk's nonsense and the rhetorical tactics that he used to make himself appear reasonable, to give people an excuse to say it's about context, or he doesn't sound that crazy, when what he was circulating was some of the most debased bigotry that never should be part of mainstream political discourse. Now, we're going to play this next sound because it's a big theme here. Remember, Charlie Kirk is a community college dropout, okay? And he would go on these college tours and debate undergrads. Take a listen to this woman kind of calling out Charlie Kirk and his bizarre response.
Do you feel proud of yourself for debating college kids who are unprepared to speak in front of an audience like yourself? Hold on. You're 30 years old. We can agree you're 30 years old, right? Do you think that's a little bit silly?
How is it any different than a professor talking to you?
Well, Charlie, it's different because you don't have a PhD. You're not an associate professor. You're not tenured tracked. You have no peer-reviewed studies. You have no academic background at all. No basis on which to argue anything other than your litany of falsehoods, lies, misdirections, and just shock value rhetoric. And if you haven't heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect, this is where people of a very low competence or information level think that they know a whole lot and overestimate their own abilities because they really don't lack the ability to deal or to recognize their own deficiency. It's basically a mismatch between confidence and competence. I can think of no better example of that than Charlie Kirk. By the way, Charlie Kirk, the guy who constantly called university and college educations a scam. And by the way, that's really weird too, because I'm pretty sure every single one of the president's kids and every cabinet secretary and every single one of their kids, they all basically go to Ivy League colleges and universities, and everybody in the elite right wing wants their kids to go to Ivy League universities. So while they're sending their kids to Ivy League universities, which are less and less attainable or
affordable to regular people, they're telling all the regular folks, like, you don't need to actually be competent about, you know, these very detailed, nuanced, advanced sort of learning modalities. It's fine. And in fact, Charlie Kirk has made arguments about this very thing with these very college students who are just learning some advanced thinking in their major areas or in survey courses. They're not equal debate partners, but let's listen to what Charlie Kirk had to say about higher education. This is the tactics of an inflammatory statement, authority framing, and a false premise all baked into one. Take a listen.
Does college provide skills to the majority of people that go? Does a woman's study degree give you any skills that was going to help us fight China?
Well, you're taking, and I know why you're doing this.
That's a majority of degrees, and people that go to college are in the social sciences, are in communications, and they're in irrelevant degrees. A majority. So a majority of the 21 million people that are in college right now are there studying stuff that you and I would laugh at.
Okay, that's a lie. And it's based on this false premise that the only thing that might be useful in our existential battle with China are degrees that Charlie, based on all of his extensive studying, peer-reviewed, published articles, thinks are relevant. But to be clear, according to the National Center for Educational Statistics, bachelor's degrees confirmed from 2011 to 2022, the vast majority of those, 45% of them, were in business, health professions, biological and biomedical sciences, and engineering. Social sciences and history made up for only 7% of the degrees conferred in that period of time. So it's a lie. But then Charlie does, you know, the inflammatory, ridiculous statement with the specificity allusion to get everybody distracted and, you know, land a punchline in front of his audience. Take a listen.
Do you think that when we're looking at American competitiveness, studying North African lesbian poetry is going to make us more competitive?
How stupid. And he uses those same inflammatory, emotionally triggering, distractionary punchlines after laying down a false premise that has no relationship to reality at all. And he just repeats them ad nauseum as if that completely specific, illusory nonsense actually supports his point, which again is a lie. Listen to him say it again and again and again.
If you ask me, we have way more than enough people that studied North African lesbian poetry.
You go to Cal to go study North African lesbian poetry?
Yeah. Like, we have a lot of people going to university to go study North African lesbian poetry.
Because they're willing to send their kid to go study North African lesbian poetry at Arizona State University?
My goodness. By the way, seeing a headline pop on the New York Times that it looks like the Trump administration is either firing or defunding the National Council on Humanities, because understanding history, literature, or art, that doesn't enrich American lives at all. But again, same stupid baloney, just repeated as nauseam, all of it based on a complete lie and fabrication and untruth. Now, here's another tactic that Charlie Kirk liked to use. And remember, he appeared hundreds and hundreds of times using these well-honed punchlines, laugh lines, these false premises, and debating, frankly, unprepared undergraduates. And he framed it all up, and this is what conservatives like to point out all the time is, oh, but he was such a fair debater. He was so calm and engaging. But remember, his appearances on these college campuses drew out many thousands, typically, of his supporters, large and boisterous crowds with MAGA hats and cheering him on. And so it was never really a fair fight for those undergraduates that would get up to the mic. But boy, it sure did make Charlie look good. Take a listen.
Guys, please don't heckle. I want to try to understand, because these words have a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
But you can't get, I know it's hard on the spot. I just want you to think about it, because if you say Trump is a racist, you should be able to easily give a definition of what that word means.
Charlie, how reductivist you have to be. Racism, where a dominant group tells another group that's not dominant that they're not worthy of the same rights, access, privileges, jobs as the dominant group because of their race. Racism, perpetuated both on an individual and systemic basis over hundreds of years. But boy, he seemed like he was, you know, reasonable and calm. But let's talk about abortion and what Charlie Kirk had to say about that. Again, this will be Charlie Kirk stating something that is a lie, acting like it is a fact, therefore setting himself up as an authority on the subject. But all of it is ultimately just a red herring, but it trips up the young woman that he's arguing with. We'll go through it all. Let's listen to this.
What happens if you need a medical abortion? If the mother will die if she does not get an abortion,
so
what's your stance on
the
that?
The only place where medical abortion is necessary is before 20 weeks, which is incredibly rare.
What if she
rare.
Will die? What if the mother
Hold
will
on a second.
Die?
What? Okay. Medication abortion generally is approved up to 10 or 11 weeks. Medical abortion in the second trimester is more complex and more difficult. But here's this, folks. Abortions after 20 weeks are rare. They represent about 1% of all abortions in the U.S. So really, if we're having a debate about abortion access, why would you use the 1% to define the entire contours of the argument? So he's lying. And by the way, he's implying that you would never need an abortion after 20 weeks, which is also a lie for the following complications: preeclampsia and eclampsia, placental abruption, placental previa, severe health conditions, folks that have cardiac or renal disease, intrauterine infections. Sometimes there can be lethal fetal abnormalities, severe congenital malformations, chromosomal anomalies that you don't identify or diagnose until after 20 weeks. These are all things that would actually make a discussion between a woman, her family, her doctor, and her faith advisor completely appropriate. But let's listen to what Charlie says next.
So let's take, for example, like, this is a very important question. Let's say it's 27 weeks, okay? And the mother will die. Why shouldn't, you could agree, why don't we just have the baby delivered by cesarean section? You know what a cesarean section is, right?
Yes.
What is a cesarean section?
A C-section?
Yeah, why wouldn't we just put the baby out by C-section instead of terminating it?
A complete straw man argument. A C-section is far more risky than an abortion. And a C-section doesn't do anything to alleviate many of the medical problems that I just listed. It's a baloney argument, and he just doubles down on it. Listen to this.
Because if the mother will die, not safe to do that.
You remove the baby.
I understand.
Threat removed.
I know what a C-section is.
But it's actually safer than an abortion. So every time they say this is for you guys, they say, oh, you need to have abortion for medical reasons. Respond, then have a C-section.
Here he is appealing to the crowd without actually responding to the argument made by the brave young woman that's actually debating him. And by the way, the video of this is quite illustrative because she's surrounded by a bunch of MAGA hat wearing young men. It's a little intimidating. But again, he doesn't respond at all to her very valid argument that the woman's life is still at risk. And by the way, the rate of medical complications during C-sections is more than four times that of abortions, according to that little organization and research published by the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And then we'll get to when Charlie Kirk analogizes abortion and the Holocaust when we come back. Because these rhetorical tricks are tricks and manipulations. And you deserve to understand what's going on. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here, for this discussion continues on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media.
Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Allure Intimate Apparel redefines what it means to feel confident, celebrating every woman, every shape, every size. Their expert fit specialists offer a refined, pressure-free experience designed for comfort, beauty, and ease. Bras, sleepwear, swim, and intimates, Allure has it all. With a personalized touch and a commitment to exceptional service, Allure helps women feel effortlessly supported every single day. An elevated new location is now open in the Hilldale Shopping Center, where fit meets sophistication. Visit AllureFits.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the middle of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win contest. Text in this word right now via the Civic Media app that you can get for free. Wherever you get your apps from, you'll be entered to win $200 or gold jewelry, one of our daily prizes, and our grand prize, a pair of tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. The word to win via the app, get entered right now, is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R. I'm debunking Charlie Kirk's rhetoric. We're about to play probably one of his most famous clips. And here you have what is an inflammatory statement and false equivalencies that appeal to emotion. This is where Kirk compares abortion to the Holocaust. Take a listen.
It is never right to justify the mass elimination or termination of people under the guise of saying they're unwanted. That's how we get Auschwitz. That's how we get the greatest horrors of the 20th century. Those people are unwanted.
So you're comparing abortion to the Holocaust?
Absolutely, I am. In fact, it's worse. It's worse.
It's really not.
It's 45 million babies. It's nearly 8 times worse than the Holocaust. What's the moral difference between a small baby in the womb and a grown Jew who was killed at Auschwitz? What's the moral difference?
One
is older?
One is a person?
Okay. So again, 99% of abortions in this country occur prior to the 20th week. It is not a baby in the womb. This is a false premise. It is inflammatory. It is incendiary. It's garbage. Listen to what he says next.
What species is the baby in the womb?
It's a human, but it's
therefore,
an
they should have human rights.
No!
They should have human rights.
I do not agree.
Oh, so small humans, no human rights. Grown humans, human rights.
This is garbage. You use the debater's own words. You twist them against that person. A blastocyst is not a human being. It's not the same. But it's a good applause line. And the debater did reject the premise. He just blew right past her. Let's listen to the next one. This is more Kirk racism. Take a listen.
Black people are only 13% of the population, yet they commit 55% of the murders. Why?
Because black people tend to be in lower economic statuses because of
Okay. No, this
CRT.
Is fine. This is great.
Basically.
So you think that poverty equals crime?
Okay, she gave up ground. Okay, she's not an experienced debater. She doesn't reject the premise. And here's what he does with that once she cedes that ground.
It's highly correlated, and there's a lot of studies on that.
This is where we disagree. What an insult to the working poor of this country.
So why do you think black people commit more crime, Charlie Kirk?
Okay, so now he's made her into the villain by saying that she's insulting working poor. All legit research on this shows an incredibly high correlation between poverty and crime rates. But let's talk about the fact that black communities and black people are more policed, more prosecuted, more severely prosecuted, have higher conviction rates, are sentenced at far higher rates and longer sentences than white people on nearly every single sort of crime and metric. A black person is 5 times more likely to be stopped without just cause than a white person. A black man is twice as likely to be stopped without just cause than a black woman. 65% of black adults have reported feeling targeted by police because of their rates. And despite rates of similar drug use, black people are arrested for drug law violations at significantly higher rates than white people. They are nearly 4 times more likely than white people to be arrested for marijuana possession. Black individuals are being arrested for street drug possession 12 times more than people of other races in the city of Baltimore alone. Black men are imprisoned on drug charges at 13 times the rates of white men. And the overall imprisonment rate for drug charges for black Americans is almost 6 times higher than white Americans. All of that context and nuance, Charlie Kirk never deals with. Here's this just straight up lie. Next cut.
Let me ask you a question as
no,
my
answer. Go on.
What percentage of blacks have a father around when they're raised?
I'm not sure.
20%.
So
80% of blacks do not have a stable father around. It is the most.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a lie. Studies of this, federal government, nonprofit groups over the last decade show that slightly less than half of black children live without a father. He just lies and lies and lies and distracts and red herrings. This is propaganda, not debate. And I couldn't close us out this show without at least listening to some Charlie Kirk describe how women are micro and men are macro. You know, women don't talk about politics or economics or sports. Take a listen to this.
Will women be as good at engineering as men, person for person?
Not necessarily, but...
Okay, well then, how is that different than the Secret Service example?
Well, the problem is that...
Because the male mind is wired different than the female mind. By the way, men will never be as good... Hold on, I'll prove it to you. Men will never be as good at counseling or psychology sessions as women. Men will never be good at nursing or elementary school education as women. We have certain giftings as our brain is wired a certain way. Women are far better gifted at micro topics, so individual connection, empathetic type conversations, healing people that have past trauma and wound. Men are much better at macro topics, right? Trying to build a building, put a skyscraper up, trying to talk geopolitics. And I'll prove it to you. When you go and you see five women eating lunch, they're probably talking about micro topics, conversations they had, relationships, friendships. Men, they're talking about politics, sports, or the stock market.
Weird. I must be pretty macro, I guess. And last but not least, all this nonsense about how calm Charlie Kirk is, what a reasonable debater he is. No, he's not. He was just well-practiced. Listen to Charlie Kirk meltdown in 2018.
That, Charlie.
I live like a capitalist every single day, Cenk. I live as a capitalist. Okay. I live what I believe. No.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers digging in after failing to pass a stopgap measure today to end the federal shutdown. 750,000 government workers now furloughed. And Vice President J.D. Vance today says permanent layoffs are likely next. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
The question is this just a threat at this point to try to put pressure on Democrats, or will they actually follow through on this? And we have seen this administration, of course, cut agencies, cut departments, and cut federal workers by significant numbers as part of that DOGE effort.
The last federal shutdown between December of 2018 to January 2019 occurred during President Trump's first term and lasted for 35 days, making it the longest closure in U.S. history. Israeli forces have intercepted several humanitarian aid flotillas bound for Gaza. Activists on board include Greta Thunberg, or safely, Israeli authorities say, being transferred to an Israeli port. The flotilla is estimated to include nearly 50 boats and 500 activists. This is ABC News.